Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone out there in the Blog Talk land. This is Chocolate Lady 64, and another Thursday. Matter of fact, it is the third Thursday of this month now. Can you believe January is almost over with? In about a week and a half from now, it'll be all over with. And then we have Black History Month, February, coming up. And I'm hoping to have some great stuff coming up for February. I might pick up some couple more interviewers or guests to go back and to reflect on Black history and what it means to them. I think that would be awesome to do something like that. Let's see. What's going on in the news? Ms. Gifford, the congresswoman, Democratic congresswoman, they said she was walking. I think that's what they said. She should take her first step. A young lady actually did her background and discovered that she was stolen. Thought that was awesome. She was an African-American young lady. And she got reunited back with her family. I'm sorry, guys. With her family. That was great news. Tonight, I didn't change the title of what I was going to talk about. I was going to talk about that. Are we suffering from cultural pain in African Americans? So I actually went in depth in the research and found out that's not what I want to talk about. It's something similar to that, and I'll probably talk about that next month. But that wasn't it. So what I did was I wanted to talk about education to a certain extent. I wanted to talk about education and the way our children are reacting to the education that they're receiving in school, behavior-wise. This new, I don't think it's actually new because it's been out for a while, the zero tolerance. I wanted to talk about zero tolerance in school and what does that mean. Because I know on some instances ACLU has been very much involved in this whole zero tolerance thing. Kids are being arrested, taken home, you know, stuff like that. It's a lot of stuff that, for instance, this happened in Ponchatoula, Louisiana. A 12-year-old had been diagnosed with hyperactive disorder, warned the kids in the lunch line not to eat all the potatoes or I'm going to get you. The student turned in by the lunch monitor was suspended for 2 days. He was then referred to police by the principal, and the police charged the boy with making terroristic threats. He was incarcerated for 2 weeks while awaiting trial. Okay, you guys, come on. First of all, let's get the definition of zero tolerance. Let me let's see. Oh, here we go. It says zero tolerance. Zero tolerance is a phrase that describes America's response to student misbehavior. Zero tolerance means that a school will automatically and severely punish a student for a variety of infractions. While zero tolerance began as a congressional response to students with guns, gun cases are the smallest category of school discipline cases. Indeed, zero tolerance covers the gamut of student misbehavior, from including threats and student fiction to giving aspirins to a classmate. Zero tolerance has become a one-size-fits-all solution to all the problems that students confront. It has redefined students as criminals with unfortunate consequences. While zero tolerance policies target the serious risk of students bringing guns to school, they also go after other weapons or anything, like a Swiss Army knife that can be used as a weapon. Bill Tolles responds to students' violence, covering a wide range of activities or threats of violence. Bill Tolles is theologically directed at students who misbehave intentionally, yet it also applies to those who misbehave as a result of emotional problems or other disabilities, or who merely forget what it is, what it's in their they forget what's in their pocket after legitimate non-school activities. It treats alike first graders and 12th graders. Bill Tolles results in expulsion or suspension, irrespective of any legitimate explanation. In many instances, it also results in having the student arrested. Now, my opinion of zero tolerance, it sounds like to me that, I don't want to say socialist, but that word comes out, sorry, sounds like socialist. If you're treating a first grader the same way you do a 12th grader, when the intentions were not the same and the situations were not the same, this one-size-fit-all type punishment, it really is not good. And you wonder why we have a tendency to build more prisons, because we start young in the public schools to teach the children how to wear handcuffs. Not only do they come from that type of environment, when you come into some of the neighborhoods that they live in, and they see their friends being arrested, they see their mom and dad being arrested, they see their big brothers, they see their cousins, they see their friends, cousins, brothers, uncles, grandpas being arrested all the time. Wow, what a way to educate our children about misbehaving. If you misbehave, I'm going to handcuff you and send you to jail. I think that's so interesting. And you wonder why. And then you, on the other hand, you're begging, you're pushing this thing about education, education, education. Get your education. Get your education and what? You can get into paralegal. Let's talk about all the law-type jobs you can get. Come FBI, okay, correction officer, parole and probation, okay, criminal justice, believe it or not, is a big theme in education as far as something to study and get your degree in. Yeah, I'm going to get my thing in criminal justice. You know why I can say that? Because that's where I was going to get mine at, in criminal justice. But because I already have a little bit of experience in working in the prison system and being around prisoners, you know, I don't know, you know. I don't want to see my kid in prison, and I'm quite sure you guys don't want to see your kid in prison. So why did we allow this zero tolerance to come about where it interferes with, now, I understand when I was reading, when I call myself reading, when I was reading the part about it being for kids who run guns to school and stuff like that, I can understand that. And there should be a whole separate zero tolerance level for that. But if a kid does, you know, maybe misbehave a little bit, not just because they have a disability or they're sick or something, but if they just misbehave and you don't have problems with the student all the time, what does the zero tolerance level do for this child? If I can prove that putting a set of handcuffs on my baby, I'm not saying my baby in general because I don't have any babies. I'm saying my baby in the sense of a child. I'm showing my this child that, you know what, every time you sneeze wrong, I'm going to put you in handcuffs. That's, I mean, I might be far-fetched with that. I might be way out there with that. But that's basically what we're saying about zero tolerance. Now, I read some examples of zero tolerance, and it's become, it says, nationwide statistics gathered by the Justice Policy Institute in the U.S. Department of Education show that crime of all sorts is down at public schools since 1990. Some studies say by as much as 30%. Less than 1% of all violent incidents involving adolescents occur on school grounds. Indeed, a child is 3 times more likely to be struck by lightning than to be killed violently at school. Still, fueled by media hype, fear of the unthinkable, and perhaps even a bit of guilt, more parents are demanding that school boards implement strict policies to deal with kids who step out of line. Now, okay. Now, I just heard a key word that was just used there. Parents. That was a key word for me. So you're telling me that you prefer your child to have these strict rules put on them, zero tolerance, opposed to you doing your job as the parent. Just want to hear. And I don't hear anything. Okay? Let me finish reading. It says mandatory expulsion rules rest on theories of punishment developed in adult criminal justice systems. Those students are expected to be deterred, either in general or in individual cases, because of a school's rules. Students are incapacitated by being segregated from the school community through expulsion, referral to juvenile court, and to disciplinary schools. And there is a notion of retribution as well, since modern school discipline policies can care little for the well-being of the student, which might be considered rehabilitation, and operate much more along the let the punishment fit the crime model of an adult criminal system. So, I want you to tell me, am I preparing my child for college, or am I preparing my child for the criminal justice system? What do you think? Huh? Me? I think I am preparing my child, because he misbehaved in school today, I'm preparing my child to prison. I'm getting them all ready for prison because he's a bad kid. I can't control him. Nobody can control him. And I'm not to pay attention to some of the signs that maybe my baby needs some help. But, you know, I don't have time to deal with him. I send him to school, let them deal with him. Then he's always in trouble. Then he's at home again, because that's what expulsion does. You send your child home, and you expel a child, guess where they're at? They're at home. So if they're acting up in school and they're acting up at home, where is the parent? I really believe, and I know that I might be wrong, but I really and truly believe that, and no, I know I'm not wrong. The reason why I say I know I'm not wrong is because I've dealt with parents who did not care with their children. I've dealt with parents. Because I used to work with one of the challenge programs with the kids, parents would not come up on visitation day. Some kids couldn't even talk to their parents because guess what? They're out of town. Because you know what? They're getting a break from this bad kid that's just traumatized their life. And for 5 months, I can get away from this kid? Who? What? I'm out. I mean, really, I'm serious. They can't call me and get nothing out of me. And not only that, do you know how you're making that child feel? So when that child gets out, well, not get out, but when they graduate out of the program, a lot of them make something of themselves. But there is a percentage of them who are not successful. Matter of fact, a couple of them that I know are dead. Okay? Now, and I even experienced the ideal that these kids didn't even want to go home. That's the sad part about it. Because you know what? They're going right back into their life. They're going right back into where they started from. So, but they've already finished school because the majority of them did their GED, and they can be productive, and they can move on. But some of them just can't because they can't get out of that trap. And because they can't get out of the trap, they find themselves back into trouble again. But now, guess what? They're adults now. So there's no programs they can get into. They have to do their time. And that's the sad part about that type of program and the kids that come out of it. But getting back to the education part, and I'm sorry I got kind of off because it all kind of connects together. If those same kids would have stayed in public schools or in school, period, and got their education, then they wouldn't have gotten, had to go through the program. So that's why it kind of connects. Now, our kids, I'm going to give you a scenario of a problem that I have seen and witnessed. And first of all, I'm going to go to the bad parents first. Bad parents. Bad parents don't work. They're both unemployed. If he's there. Majority of the time he's not. Majority of the time it's the woman. She doesn't work. So she don't even get out the bed. She hollers down the hall. So-and-so, get up. Ain't checked on them to see if they got up. Ain't checked on them to see if they did anything. They hollering down the hall. I'm up. They still laying down. They ain't moved. I said get up because she know she got an inkling that that this child didn't get up, right? So he doesn't get up. He's still laying there. If I get out this bed, I'm up, Mom. Okay, now he's up. Basically, he's never been taught proper hygiene, so he doesn't know to go in there, brush his teeth, wash his face, clean his body up, and get ready for school. Because let me say this, he probably doesn't have real good clean clothes because Mom doesn't wash that often as everything else gets done. Okay. So finally, he gets up. He's in the bathroom doing whatever it is he does because it's not cleaning his face and brushing his teeth, so it must be something else, I guess. He comes out, clothes wrinkled. Go throw on his jacket. Now, his knapsack or his book sack hasn't been looked in to see if he had any homework or nothing because everything is still like it was when he dumped it in there from school. All right? Now, he goes in the kitchen because you know what? He wants to get something to eat. Maybe a bowl of cereal, some grits, maybe, you know, maybe something, you know, to stick in his mouth or was that Pop-Tart or something, right? But guess what? There's nothing in the refrigerator, nothing to drink, nothing to deal with, nothing to eat, nothing, okay? So this kid knows he's getting close to time to leave. He's hungry. You can hear his stomach growling. But he got to get to school because she don't want to come up out of that room back there where she's laying up watching TV or whatever. So he's afraid of her to a certain extent because he don't want to go out being booked, you know, getting his butt booked. So, Mom, I'm done. Okay. And she ain't moved. She's still in that bag back there. She ain't got up to check on nothing. He gets to school. Now, mind you, he gets free lunch. But he gets to school so late that he misses breakfast. He gets free breakfast and free lunch. Let me put it to you like that. He misses breakfast because he gets to school so late because he's late waking up. Because, see, Mom lets him stay up all hours of the night, not getting what he needs. You know, not getting the proper sleep. So he's frustrated because he's hungry. He's angry. He's not concentrating in his class. So you know what? He starts picking on kids and start, you know, picking fights and getting into trouble all the time and not paying attention to the teacher. Okay, here comes the zero tolerance policy. It kicks in. He's sent down to the office. They call his mom. She gets mad with them with a couple of words. Then she has to get up and come down to the school and get him. Oh, that was too much for her. Because, you know, you messed up her day. She was trying to watch Murray Povis, Oprah or something. whatever comes on in the morning, soap operas, One Life to Live, Days of Our Lives. She was trying to watch that. She really, really, really interrupted her day by doing just that, right? So she comes to get you. Okay, mind it. You haven't eaten. It's already past lunchtime. She's pissed, and you're pissed. Kids, I'm saying. He still, book sack hasn't been looked in, no homework been turned in, no nothing. Zero tolerance, he's out of school for the rest of the year for getting in a fight with somebody or whatever, you know. You think the mother should be blamed for that? Should she take responsibility to get her butt up and go in there and make sure he gets up on time, make sure he gets out the door on time, even get her butt up and walk him to school or whatever she has to do to make sure he gets to school? Hmm? You ever think about that? No. And then we, parents, want to get mad. Then you have this other kid over here. Mother has to go to work. So she's got to be up extra early because she wants to have breakfast on the table for everybody. Not just certain kids, but everybody needs to sit down and have breakfast together. So she gets up extra early. Let's say about between 5 and 6 she's up. She has to get dressed, and she has to make sure all the kids are up. So each kid has an alarm in their room. So when the alarm clock goes off, nobody hits the snooze button because, you know what, mom's coming down that hallway or dad's coming down that hallway to check and make sure the snooze button is not being hit. Okay? Get up. Dad only has to say it once. Mom only has to say it once. They're up. They're in the bathroom. She's making sure, brush your teeth, brush your teeth, brush your teeth. She's making sure everybody's teeth brushed. Okay? Everybody's face washed. Everybody's got nice clean clothes because the night before, instead of her sitting down watching TV, after she finished doing her work or whatever she had to do, she's ironing to about maybe 9, 10, because she's got herself on the schedule. Because she's got to get up early, so she's got to get her proper rest. So she's got everybody clothed, ironed, pressed, and ready to go. Okay? She gets them off to school. They've eaten breakfast. Okay? They've got everything they need. Homework has been done and checked and turned in. It's going to be turned in when they get to school. But she's got one kid that refused to get any kind of, you know, do anything right. He has some behavior problems, something that he has not been yet diagnosed because nobody knows what's going on. Why is he like this? Because mom and dad, not to say that they were bad parents, but the ideal that mom and dad is so disciplined and everybody is so structured that this one kid is being deprived. They don't know what to do with him. You know, he can do his homework. He's a smart kid when he wants to. But when he gets in the mood, he's all over the place. And then guess what? He's sitting at home. So you got two kids from different backgrounds that's in trouble for the same thing or at home for the same thing, okay? Basically because zero tolerance doesn't pick one or the other. You go on home and stay. That's it. You know, first of all, we're going to put you in handcuffs, okay? Now, so with those two scenarios, the same end result happened. Both of these kids got kicked out of school. One had some serious problems, and the other was just being deprived. So you tell me, do you think it's valid enough or is valid for us to impose this zero tolerance on these kids? No. I think first thing we should do is find a solution to where the behavior problems coming from. And when you have caring parents, which comes from home? When you have caring parents, when you have parents who's doing all they can, and they can't recognize, I think the parents' position and responsibility is to get somebody else who can recognize there is a problem so that you won't have to worry about having your child kicked out of school for the rest of the year, you know. You know, I was reading this articles, and they're saying how much disciplines are down or whatever. I don't know. Because you can't believe everything you read, you can't believe everything you hear. I don't know. I talk to kids, and I find they still do a lot of fights. They get jumped on at school, and they fight two or three people. And because bullying is such a big thing, so average kid's going to fight. They're going to fight to take care of themselves. They're going to fight to just make it. And then you have teachers who don't give a shit. Excuse my language, but I'm going to say it like it is. And I'm going to say it like this. They're there for a paycheck. They're not really caring about the doggone kid getting a good education. I'm not saying that about all teachers. Please, if there's teachers out there. I even wanted to be a teacher at one time. So do. But there's teachers who care, and there's a lot of them who don't. You wonder why we're behind China. You wonder why we're behind all these other foreign countries when it comes to education. Okay? Because those kids don't go to school and fight. Because they already know the punishment. Okay? So, when I come back, we're going to talk about zero tolerance and mandatory punishment. I think we need to hear some songs, some music here. Let's see what we got. We just heard that one. Let's see what we got here. Amen. Okay, here we go. Thank you. although few could fall with a policy of zero tolerance toward children who misbehave, adults who raise, teach, or supervise children should react to misbehavior. Their response should be appropriate to the age, history, and circumstances of the child, as well as the nature of the offense. Unfortunately, when it is examined closely, zero tolerance turns out to have very little to do with zero tolerance and everything to do with one-size-fits-all mandatory punishment. Okay? All right. Now, it says the Bar Association has long had policies against mandatory sentencing in the criminal justice system, specifying maximum but not mandatory minimum sentences. The American Bar Association, which opposes mandatory minimum sentences for adults convicted of serious crimes, should also oppose mandatory minimum sanctions for children who misbehave. Excuse me. Unfortunately, zero tolerance is public education effort to import to education the concept of adult mandatory sentencing. Like I said again, let's get our children prepared for the penal system. Let's not help them. Man, down the road, let's just build another prison. They're just going to have to do is come out of school and walk down the road. A couple of blocks down, you're at home. Isn't that something? Okay. It says, zero tolerance is a perverse version of mandatory sentencing, first because it takes no account of what we know about children and adolescent development, and second because at least in the criminal justice system, despite ADA policy, when mandatory sentences exist, there are different mandatory sentences for offenses of different seriousness. For example, a gun-related offense might lead to a mandatory 5-year sentence, but only murder leads to mandatory life sentence. Zero tolerance in school, however, is closer to a mandatory life sentence for a wide range of students' misconduct. In some places, this is literally true. In Georgia, children who are expelled from school are expelled for life. In Massachusetts, expelled students also permanently lose the right to get a public education. So, keep in mind, now, this could be a kid that got some issues going on at home. Okay? Now, despite the obvious harshness of mandatory sentencing, which reduces judicial discretion, it is at least has the benefit of being related to the perceived seriousness of the offense or tied to the criminal history of the defendant. America's criminal justice has yet to embrace a single sentence for all crimes. Indeed, America moved beyond single decronian sentence for minor offenses 200 years ago. Thus, zero tolerance policies for students adopt a theory of mandatory punishment that has been rejected by the adult criminal justice system because it's too harsh. Rather than having a variety of sanctions available for a range of school-based offenses, which I really truly agree with, state laws and school district policies apply the same expulsion rules to the 6-year-old as to the 17-year-old, to the first-time offender as to the chronic troublemaker, to the children with a gun as to with a Swiss Army knife. Adults, especially those who teach children, are expected to have skills and knowledge to teach behavior in age-appropriate ways. Unfortunately, zero tolerance as practiced today is not rooted in theories of pedagogy or child or adolescent development. It teaches children nothing about fairness and often creates injustice. So, in contrast, the proposed resolution is consistent with the complement existing in the ADA Policy Supporting Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, IDEA, which in turn underscores the need for individualized attention to needs and behavior of students with disabilities whose responses in certain situations may be misinterpreted as disciplinary policy. Okay. Now,
Is there an alternative to urinary tolerance? Yeah, there could be, just like it was just explained there. Break down the offenses. Give each one of them a different punishment. Just throwing kids out of school and preparing them for life out there in the prison system, in the prison yard, behind a big gate, electric gate, gated fence, and the orange jumpsuit with the numbers on them, find out if that child has a disability, a behavior disability. You know, ADA. You know, a child can have anything, but you don't know because you're too busy throwing him out. I mean, hey, that's what the policy says. Let's throw him out. Get rid of him. Hey. Now, this one says, we want to know, are innocent students being punished? As community members pose questions to find out whether or not innocent students are being punished under the zero tolerance policy, the answer is saddening. Yes. While public schools are certainly not seeking out innocent students in order to enforce harsh or unfair consequences, cases of guiltless reprimand are still coming to the surface. For example, an ADA Southern Reveals in 2000 study conducted by the Justice Policy Institute revealed that many cases of unjust punishments thrown innocent children have garnered national attention. We talked about the 12-year-old who was diagnosed with a hyperactive disorder. In Texas, a 13-year-old boy was inspired to write a scary story for Halloween-based assignment. His story involved a character who shot students at a school. Consequently, the teenager was arrested and spent 6 days in jail before police confirmed that no crime was committed. 6 days in jail. 6 days in jail. Sorry. This child spent 6 days in jail. Think about that. In Florida, it says a 14-year-old special needs student was referred to the police after the principal discovered that the child allegedly stole $2 from a classmate. The child was charged with strong-armed robbery and was held in an adult jail for 6 weeks. When a CBS 60 Minutes news crew arrived to report the case, the charges pending were fortunately dropped. Oh, so you're telling me that I have to get the media involved in order for something to happen? Amazing. That is amazing. Okay? Now, what can we do to resolve this? First of all, I want to see something else. According to the APA, American Psychological Association, it says that with reviewing the effectiveness of zero tolerance policies in American schools, in essence, the report found that zero tolerance has not been shown to improve school climate or school safety. Although it seems intuitive that removing disruptive students from school will improve the school experience for others and that severe punishment will improve the behavior of both the punished and those who witness the punishment, the task force reported assets that the available evidence consistently flies in the face of these beliefs. Indeed, the task force found that zero tolerance policies may have actually increased disciplinary problems and dropout rates in middle and secondary schools. Exacerbated the problem of overrepresentation of minority and emotionally disabled students in school discipline systems and generated inappropriate consequences for younger children. Okay? Zero tolerance-based punishments such as suspension and expulsion, the task force found, have not improved behavior or academic performance. In addition, by shifting the locus of discipline from schools to the juvenile justice system, zero tolerance policies are causing numerous adverse consequences for students, families, and communities. Zero tolerance policies requiring suspension from school were found to be counterproductive on many levels. School suspension is generally appears to predict higher future rates of misbehavior
and suspension among those students who are suspended. So, if I'm not in school, am I learning anything? Hell no. Because while I'm at home, I'm chilling. I'm playing Nintendo. I'm playing around, hanging around. Oh, I might be hanging out with the boys that's out of school already, who either out of school already and didn't do nothing with their life, or the ones who's dropping out. Even though mom and dad, they at work. Even though they told me I better not leave the house, what I do when they leave out the door, I'm heading to the street. Okay? I want to see what I can get into today. Because you know what? I'm suspended. And I don't care. But I really do care. They just haven't recognized that I care. I was trying to holler. I was trying to get somebody's attention, you know, trying to act out, trying to get somebody's attention on something's wrong with me. Oh, who cares? Let me go run down the street. Okay, let me go rob this store with my buddies. I just want some candy. I'm going to go get some candy. Okay? Let's talk about what do you kids do when they're suspended? What do they do when they're at home? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And I know they have alternative schools. Okay? But are the alternative schools productive? Are these kids really getting back on track? I don't know. It says schools with higher rates of school suspension and expulsion has less satisfactory school climate ratings and school governance structures and tended to spend disappropriate amount of time on discipline. In the long term, school suspension and expulsion were associated with a higher school dropout rate and failure to graduate on time. Isn't that something? First, we come up with this policy, one size fits all. I'll punish the seventh grader like I'll punish my 12th grader, okay? Then I'll holler that the real talent level is doing so well. Parents are agreeing with talent level because, hey, they ain't got to deal with the kids. You know, I'm at work. What is he doing if he at home? I don't know. I don't care. I'm at work. I got to make sure the bills get paid every month. I got to make sure he eats when I can't. Okay? I got to make sure he's got his new Xbox 360 for Christmas, even though he's been out of school for about 2 or 3 months now because he ain't been back to school yet. Because every time he goes back to school, he gets in trouble, so he's out again. So, and guess what? I got to give him certain things for him when he gets ready to graduate. Oh, graduate? Oh, repeat the same grade again? Because somebody's not paying attention to what's going on with this kid. Teachers, principal, education system, and most of all the parents, because it starts at home. That's just my theory. All right. Now, it says, as to academic performance, the report saw a negative relationship between the use of school suspension and expulsion and school-wide academic achievement. Regarding the notion that real-time policies might be fair to students traditionally overrepresented in school disciplinary consequences, the task force found that the opposite seemed to be true. Under real-time policies, the disappropriate discipline of students of color continues to be a concern and may be increasing. Overrepresentation and suspension and expulsion has been found consistently for African-American students and less consistently for Latino students. Furthermore, the study found that under zero tolerance policies, African-American students may be disciplined more severely for less serious or more subjective reasons. Oh! So that's the little dirty secret there. Let's put all the kids. See, we got to get the black kids ready, African-American students. Kids ready for the prison system. Huh? What you think? Now, we don't come and shoot up the schools and stuff, but we make enough, we raise enough hell to get sent home. All righty. Okay. Understand. Concerning students with disabilities, although there's less data available on this issue, the report found that under the zero-tolerance policy, students with disabilities, especially those with emotional behavior, appear to be suspended and expelled at rates disappropriate to their representation in the population. The task force found that these policies would be particularly inappropriate for younger pupils. Zero-tolerance policies, as applied, appear to run counter to our best knowledge of child development. The report states, adding zero tolerance policies can exacerbate both the normative challenges of early adolescence and the potential mismatch between the adolescent developmental stage and the structure of secondary school. So, in other words, you're saying you don't understand your kids. You don't know the stages they go through. You just have them, pop them out, some of y'all, cook, clean for them, get them off to school. That's all you got to do. That's all your job is. Because now, you know what, I got a long day I got to deal with. I got to make sure everything's in place. I got to make sure I get to the party. I got to, all these things. I still, all in all, break it down to the parent. The parent's job is to recognize all these different issues first and foremost. If you don't understand your child, then you need to learn how to understand your child. Zero tolerance is not the answer to everything, okay? Zero tolerance is not the answer to everything. And I'm sorry, I have a problem with zero tolerance. I do. Okay? Restorative justice programs attempt to reestablish positive relationships with adults and teach understanding the empathy and empathy to those who have been violent. The report commented, adding, restorative and community justice programs in the school setting prioritize activities that try to reduce delinquency and find solutions to behavior without resorting to the criminal justice system and to create a safe and supportive learning environment that effectively expresses the values of culture. Now, emerging data suggests that restorative justice programs may represent a promising alternative to zero tolerance. Let's see what restorative justice is. Let's see what that is. I didn't see what that was. Let's see. Oh. Something I forgot. Moreover, the task force found that zero tolerance policies have increased referrals to the juvenile justice system for infractions that were once handled in schools, resulting in the creation of a school-to-prison pipeline. And since it costs more to handle a child through the juvenile system than with the school within the school system, to the extent that school infractions lead to increased contact with the juvenile justice system, the cost of treatment appears to escalate dramatically. Okay. So, it just goes to show you, hey, in conclusion, that we need to find other ways to punish our children when they're misbehaving at school. Now, I'm going to tell you what my mom used to do when we misbehaved. The principal was allowed to hit us, for one thing. We got our tails tore up. But they called my mom. My mom worked at night, so we lived a block away from school. So she would do, if she got called, because if she worked at night, she needs to be resting during the daytime so she can go back to work. If she got called for any reason, she come up there, we already know we're going to get our tails tore up. So we get tore up by the teacher, by the principal. Then we'd be sent home. And she'd come get us, either come get us or she said they sent us home. Most of the time she'd come get us. And we got tore up again. Two whoopers in one day is too much. So there was not a lot of disciplinary problems with me. I was too scared. I didn't want to get into no stuff. So I didn't have that problem. But it's different nowadays. I know it's a whole different breed of children, a whole generational for a whole new. I see these kids nowadays. Whoa. I might still say parents, parents, parents. Now, we've talked about a lot of stuff. I hope I didn't confuse you or mislead you about zero tolerance in school. I don't believe in it. I think there should be another alternative to dealing with children. I blame it on parents. Parents should step up to the plate, pay attention to your children, see what they're doing. I want to first blame it on the parents. I want to blame it on the teachers that don't care, that's in school just to pay your bills. I understand how that is. But yet still you have a child that is being raised around you, or you're supposed to be putting together a developmental system for them to learn in and a safe environment for them to learn in, and it's up to you. And I blame society. Okay? I'm just saying how I feel. Okay? Now, I got 3 minutes to go. I would like to say to you guys, thank you for tonight. I enjoyed tonight. It was really good. I hope I taught you guys something. I hope you listened. I hope you have questions. I hope you join me. I'm still looking for more people to come be my friend and be a new listener on here on Chocolate Lady 64. Next week, we have Miss Marquette A. Braveland. She is a guru with lace wigs, so she'll be here to be interviewed, and we'll be talking about her business that she has. If you want to check it out, she's on thoughtlacewigstrainingcenter.com. Check her out. And we'll be talking to her next week, hopefully, if everything works out. We'll be discussing her whole project and her dream, her business, and how she did it. I want to do a lot of things on people with their businesses. I did a lot of book writers, I mean authors last year. I want to do a lot of businesses this year. So hopefully I get a chance to get some more people with their business. I'm excited because I love wigs, and I wear them like crazy. So it's going to be very exciting to have her on next week. So stay tuned. This has been, you know how to hit me up on Facebook, Selena McCall on Facebook. You can catch me on Blog Talk Radio at ChocolateLady64. You can also catch me on Simplicity64@yahoo.com. And I also want to tell you something else, but I forgot what it is. So stay tuned, you guys. A lot of stuff going on. Oh, man, I'm just so excited for this year. This year started off real crazy, but slowly but surely it's putting itself in place. So you guys have a great evening. I will see you guys later. I will check you next week. Please don't forget to tune in next week. We'll be talking to Miss Breslin, LaceWigsTrainingCenter.com. Check it out. Bye-bye.